Goff's 3 minute
history.
Cause knowledge is
If you were to walk into President Kennedy's Oval Office in the early 1960s, you would notice a variety of expected everyday items on his desk. A telephone, ashtray, pen holder, a desk light, various documents, and there, sitting at the very front of the resolute desk, the first thing you would lay eyes on as you walk up, a coconut. The story behind this unique paperweight is as incredible an adventure and as unique to President Kennedy's path to the White House as any artifact could be. It does as much to explain John F. Kennedy's tenacity, stubbornness, and will to succeed as any object or story possibly could. So let's take a look at perhaps the most famous coconut in history. To understand the significance of the coconut, we have to go back to World War II. Upon graduating from Harvard in 1940, future President John F. Kennedy joined the U.S. Navy Reserves. He got called up to active duty and eventually found himself a lieutenant in the Pacific, commanding a patrol boat, PT-109. PTs, or patrol torpedo crafts, were 80 feet long with a crew of up to 17 men, including three officers. They had a top speed of roughly 50 miles an hour. They were equipped with four 21-inch torpedoes and two 50-millimeter machine guns. The Japanese even nicknamed them the Mosquito Fleet because of how quick they were. Kennedy's orders were to patrol the Blackett Strait, a shipping route through the Solomon Islands northeast of Australia. He was to disrupt the Tokyo Express, a nickname given to the Japanese supply boats who were resupplying their troops trying to halt the Allied advance towards Japan. Kennedy commanded one of 15 PT boats in the area attempting to disrupt these Japanese convoys. On August 1, 1943, the Allied fleet encountered four Japanese destroyers coming through the strait, three supply ships and one escort. During the ensuing firefight, 30 torpedoes were launched from the PT boats, but none found their mark. With neither Allied nor Japanese troops drawing first blood, the engagement was a draw. All PT boats out of torpedoes were ordered back to base to resupply, leaving but three Allied ships left, including Kennedy's PT-109. Somewhere around 2:30 in the morning, one of the Japanese destroyers charged PT-109 broadside, shearing her in half. As she was going down, Kennedy gave the order to abandon ship, and while in the water, organized the crew, totaling 11 men, to prepare for a long swim to land, a small islet roughly 3.5 miles away. One of the crew, engineer Patrick McMahon, had been badly injured in the collision, so Kennedy took his life vest strap in his teeth and towed him along with him all the way to land. Kennedy credits his time on the Harvard swim team as a huge reason he was able to do this. Several other men who were not good swimmers, including several who couldn't swim at all, strapped themselves to a plank while other crew members pulled them along. They arrived at a small strip of land called Plum Pudding. But with the dangers of passing Japanese ships, Kennedy knew they would have to seek aid elsewhere. He island hopped and swam down to the Ferguson Strait, a well-known Allied route, but saw no ships and had to turn back after an hour. The next night, another crew member attempted the exact same thing. On August 4th, 3 days into their ordeal, Kennedy and his crew set out for a larger island nearby, Olasana Island. Finding it empty, but with more coconuts, they stayed there while the next day Kennedy and another crew member, George Ross, set out for nearby Nauru Island. On the island, they found a Japanese wreck with crates of water and Japanese candy. Further down the beach, they found a canoe. Upon returning to the wreck, they scared off two native islanders who they would encounter the following day back on Olasana Island, who were actually Allied scouts looking for survivors. They showed Kennedy how to scratch a message into a coconut husk, and he carved out a quick message. It read, "Nauru Island, Commander, Native knows position, he can pilot, 11 alive, need small boat, Kennedy." The coconut was transferred to a nearby Allied base, and instructions were relayed back, and a rescue was planned. The crew was eventually rescued on August 7th. Kennedy's heroics and leadership during that first week of August 1943 earned him both the Navy and Marine Corps Medal along with a Purple Heart. He stayed in touch with the two islanders who helped rescue them and even invited them to his inauguration in 1960. Of his years in the Navy, Kennedy would finally say,
"I can imagine no more rewarding a career. And any man who may be asked in this century what he did to make his life worthwhile, I think, can respond with a good deal of pride and satisfaction. I served in the United States Navy."
Kennedy kept the coconut, had it made into a desk ornament he kept with him the rest of his life, a daily reminder of his most famous engagement in the South Pacific. And while every president is free to decorate the office during their term as they see fit, perhaps this is the most unique artifact to ever grace the Oval Office. Class dismissed. This podcast, written, produced, and narrated by Isaac Goff in wild, wonderful Wart County, West Virginia.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.